Hey, everybody. Before we get started here today, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. They're supporting the program so we can continue to come with good information for you guys week in, week out about films and do
when
what
we start
do
doing that
on the Film Vault. When will you start doing that?
That's question. Yeah.
But yes, Feels, I just wanted to, we wanted to give you a quick heads up on how to take advantage of this offer.
Feels is a premium, high quality CBD to, honestly, take care of a lot of what ails you. For me, helps me sleep and has for, God, going on 2 years now, which is crazy. Yeah, Feels, fantastic. Start feeling better with Feels. You can become a member today by going to feels.com/TFV and you get 50% off your first order with that free shipping. That's Feels, FEALS.com/TFV to become a member. Get that 50% off, automatically take it off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/TFV.
Let's get to the program.
Welcome everyone to the Film Vault. That's it. I'm Brian, we're your host for today. Top 5 scenes that would be considered assault today. And yes, we are joined by the creator of this list, of this topic, I should say, Miss Florence Bremer. How are you, Florence?
Hi, gentlemen.
Good
I'm
to
good.
See you.
How are you? Good to see you both.
Good to see you again. It's been a couple of days. Florence is at the Corolla family.
So I heard, yes. Yeah, so I heard.
You know who else is there? A fan of the show who explained that his buddy submitted a song for the theme song.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get chosen.
Uh-huh.
That was awkward.
Okay. Did it get represented?
I think he said it got less than
okay,
it
made the cut because we got a lot. And I only picked a handful that I actually played. And all right, why do people do that? Why are you going to do that? First of all, a guy comes
friendly,
up to him.
Friendly sort.
And apparently gave me a bunch of shit for raining down on Brian's racism. And he's like, why doesn't Anderson?
He didn't put it that way.
Why doesn't Anderson let your racist jokes,
said jokes,
your racist tendencies breathe? Why does Anderson have to come down on you?
Mm-hmm. He's like, why is he so woke?
That I am not. I'm right in between. I get it from both sides. You know what I mean?
That's how you know you're doing it right.
I feel like that's true. I just follow my heart, Brian. I follow my heart. Mm. That's all anyone can do. Hey, I'm excited about this list. However, speaking of the woke folk, I never heard that before. Woke folk, yeah, there's a lot of them out there. And I was talking a little bit on the last episode about how angry I was becoming with my research this week, reading bloggers' top 5 or top 30 lists or whatever, movies that would never fly today. Because one person in particular came down on Mrs. Doubtfire.
Really?
And about how transphobic it was.
And I mean...
And then how
it probably captured some thoughts of the day.
And then, you know, I haven't seen it in a while, but, you know,
also
perhaps there is
San Francisco
and not important. And
well, I would say it is to the probably the highest.
You're generalizing saying that a bunch of transgender people live in San Francisco.
I know if only I'd have been there everywhere. And had some evidence to back up my,
I think
claim.
Maybe the people that are transgender might be drawn there. Hmm. Perhaps.
I didn't say it caused transgenderism.
The point is that this was the particular blogger who was like, nobody finds
I like
this
how you agree with me and yet you make it out
dismiss,
to me.
Dismiss, yeah.
Yeah, you dismiss me.
She or he says, nobody thinks things in this movie are funny now. Nobody. It's like, I feel like if I watch Mrs. Doubtfire, I would still find plenty of things that are delightful.
Drive-by fruiting still makes me laugh.
Oh, very good. And then also, I think it was this, it might have been a different list. There are so many lists out there that use the word problematic quite a bit. One of them was about The Notebook and how the scene
was problematic in The Notebook.
The Ferris wheel where he was threatening suicide in a playful manner.
I don't think
unless she goes on a date with him.
You know what? We shouldn't judge.
That ruined the whole movie for this person. They couldn't get past that. The whole movie was ruined.
I understand that.
I make an argument that the movie was ruined far before that. You know, just in conception, I would say it's, no. I'm being mean, but it is. There is something to be said. Like, what if he was heinous and like some kind of weird stalker guy, and he was hanging up there saying, "I'm going to kill myself if you don't get a date with me."
Right.
What if he didn't look like Ryan Gosling?
If he didn't look like Ken.
Exactly.
Anyways,
I should point out also, I don't know if this is a brag or not, no lists. Didn't do any research. I mean, did research on my top 5, but it's all from memory.
All of mine on my list are just from my own memory too. I did my due diligence. Mm-hmm. Florence, I feel like I'm not giving you the mic at all and I'm dominating. I apologize.
No, you're not. I my top 5 list also is from memory. So the three of us did the same.
You know what's going to be helpful, Florence? Florence is an actual practicing licensed lawyer. And Are you licensed? How does that work?
Oh, yes.
I know you passed the bar, but I don't know if it's considered a license. Yeah. Anyway.
She's one step above Kim Kardashian.
For now. So Florence is an actual lawyer, and I assume we can shed some light on whether or not these would be considered assault these days by the legal definition.
Yeah, that was what I was having a really hard time with, because I was trying to make it where it's sort of light, but really they are all assaults in some way. They could all be charged.
Oh, interesting. Is assault a federal? No, it's got to be a local.
Felony?
No, federal crime. I'm saying, is the standard for assault the same everywhere?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm.
No, every state is going to have different elements for the assaults, and every state is going to have different types of assaults, some being misdemeanors and some being felonies.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I was charged with felony assault once, but
really?
They dropped the charges, yeah.
Did you have prison rage? Is that the night you
had? I was in prison because of it. Oh, jail. I was in jail that night because of it, but... turns out that, you know, being held down on the ground by a bunch of angry bouncers and then helped up by cops isn't assault, I guess. So that's why they didn't try and make the charges stick, but that's what they charged me with so that I could go to jail.
They bring you in.
I had the temerity to try and walk back into an establishment that I had been kicked out of. Mm. So they kicked me out for smoking weed, but I was smoking a cigarette. So I was enraged and I thought that they...
Wrongly convicted.
Right. I mean, I should have been kicked out for either one, but they got it wrong. You know what I'm saying?
A number of reasons to kick
you
out.
So I'm like, I'm going to walk back in there now. And then they said, no, you're not. And they all tackled me. And I got charged with assault. It's funny how that works.
Wow. You are the poster child of wrongful convictions.
I
know.
I really feel like it
you've really had it tough.
The injustices. Yeah. Here's a question. Is these are going to be considered assault today, but I think all of mine should have been considered assault back then, and they probably were technically assault, but they were played for either laughs or just something to signify what a character felt about another character.
Laughs or to further
I think
the
so
plot.
Too, and, yes. Some of the spousal ones I think would not have been charged years ago. If that gives
I'm
a
really
hint
interested.
Of some of
I'm interested to see how we all approach this list.
Yeah. And I should say that the two biggest ones that I at one time or another had on my list, I just left them off because I'm assuming they're going to be covered. And I wanted to talk about more assault. The more assault, the better, right? So I left the two, I did that thing, and it's not great for the, I guess, the legacy of the show, but like my number one, my number two in this case aren't on my list because I want more discussion.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Do you think they'll be represented on mine or Florence or the,
I can't imagine that they're not number ones on people's lists. Yeah.
My number one came to be kind of late as I was researching the others. I'm like, oh my God. That is egregious by today's standards.
Hmm.
My number one is the one that made me think of this list.
That's the way it should go.
Were we on the phone when you pitched this idea to me?
Yes.
Yes, and I laughed heartily. Right? Yes.
Yep. And then I put it on my list of, I remembered it, that you laughed. And then when I pitched a bunch of topics, I put it on and you still liked it.
She pitched a number, I mean, enough to get us through the next 6 months, I think, and they're all solid ideas.
Nice.
Florence.
I try.
You looking for a producer gig?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, yeah, we got a vacancy.
I wish I was around here.
Come on.
Go ahead, Brad. Well, you're going to...
I don't remember what I was going to say. Mine are all from comedies.
Will you indulge me for a minute? I know you pretty much throughout every show. I get that, Brian. But I wanted to do a quick plug. By the time this episode airs, our website should be up and running for my new gig, speaking of gigs. And that is something that I should have got off the ground shortly after Loveline ended, or at least right after Groupers ended. And that's
Andy answers your problems.
Making some money with doing what I'm actually skilled at. Mike Carano and I have teamed up to do videography work for Cleverkind Productions, which is a production company that I put together, and I did all the legwork, but I never actually pulled the trigger because this was happening, that was happening, and it was right there all the time. But I talked to Mike Carano about it, and we are teaming up. So we are Cleverkind Productions, and we specialize in businesses. He's done a bunch of work. I've done a bunch of work as well. And us as a team, we're going to do some really fun stuff and some really good work. So we specialize with businesses, like I said, and getting the word out for your business and website representation and social media representation and all that stuff. We do specialize in media
you
packages.
You literally don't tweet.
No, but people who have businesses do. and I will be for our production company. So okay. If you're interested, if you're local, if not, we're literally soups to nuts. We're full function. We have all the gear, all the equipment, all the know-how. And collectively, we have like 40 years experience or something shooting things. And
it will subjects. Look good, whatever you want produced.
By copywriting, we do it all. We've done it all, and it'll be really fun doing this with Mike. Truth be told, I was kind of dreading going out there and doing this because I'm a social animal. And once Mike was like, I don't know why I didn't think of it before, but Mike's like, you know, he's in need of work as well because you know he lives a similar life to mine where he's uncompromising and. Can't have like a traditional gig. So, but he's immensely talented. He shot everybody you can imagine. And we're going to business. So
that's great. Where can people go?
CleverKindProductions.com.
CleverKind.
I have regret. I feel like I should have gone with the other one that I got the rights to, which is Real Sugar, R-E-E-L, Sugar. RealSugar.com. I own that. But I'm going with CleverKind Productions.
I like that.
Because we're clever and we're kind.
Clever Kind Productions, totally unrelated. Florence, do you want to team up on producing some content for corporate America? We'll undercut these guys.
I have a business.
All right.
I have to call Clever Kind.
Here we go.
So speaking of plugs, where can people hear you? Because I'm sure that those who have not already heard you yet, Florence, will want to hear more of you by the end of this episode.
I have a podcast that I do every other week called the Bonafide Legal Podcast, where I talk about wellness and time management tips and travel tips, just practical tips for attorneys and small business owners. And I even feel it's something like a stay-at-home mom or dad could use too.
It goes down smooth. I've listened to a few episodes and she's very, very likable. She does not stutter or stammer like I am wont to do. And it's just like a friendly, nice, informative, smart, funny podcast. It's very, very nice. And it's impressive that she can just wax with herself and not lean on anyone. Can I go murder your dog?
Oh, this is a first person focus group. Florence, you make the mistake of listening to the show. Do you hear Charlie in the background?
No, I never hear Charlie. Whenever you guys talk about like a crazy noise outside or something, I never hear it. Or you talk about Charlie or Tessa, I never hear it.
Anderson is literally trying to foley Charlie.
I mean, there's no way that people can't hear that. You just be quiet. It's echoing through all three mics. Okay. Of course people hear it.
You two get the list started. I'll go stop Charlie.
Yeah,
he's home alone. He's a little nervous. Come on.
He's home alone. He's a little nervous. Well, first of all, he's not home alone. He's barking because your daughter and your wife are walking up the pavement right now.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well then fuck it.
He sees his mama.
Brian, I didn't see it until just now. We gotta do something about this, Brian. It's not fair to the listeners.
What? About what?
About doing the show with vocal Charlie and cooking.
Apparently, he's unhearable.
Will you please talk into the microphone? Thank you. Please talk into the microphone. Let's get to the list, huh? Let's get to the list.
Do you go running any football fans at the Corolla Family Barbecue? Oh,
Jesus Christ! Why would you say?
Because you had your name tag.
Yeah. So like, no.
Why would you? Why would you do that?
Well, because you had the name tag.
Yeah, but I mean, the answer could have been no, and then where do we go?
I love that dress you're wearing.
Will you please talk into your microphone?
So much.
Very summery.
You're definitely picking up on Florence's mic, so I'd like you to really get on that.
Yellow,
mic.
Orange, and red. It was beautiful. I loved it.
Thank you. That's what people were talking to me about. Was my
the dress? It was noticeable. You stood up. All right, let's talk about the top five scenes that would be considered assault today. I'm willing to start wherever.
Go ahead, Brian. You can start.
I'll start because mine, actually, this is a good, I feel like some of these might get heavy. So mine is a nice light entree into the world of sexual assault, perhaps. It's the most innocent example on my list. Mm-hmm. That's why I was starting at number five. From 1993, a movie I don't even like that much, The Kiss. From The Sandlot.
Hmm.
Mm.
Yes.
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 So you remember Squints. This? This is Squints, and they're in the pool, and they're staring at Wendy Peffercorn. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. They can't believe how beautiful she is. They're oiling herself. Oh, she knows what she's doing. Yes. She knows exactly.
She's the lifeguard.
She's the lifeguard.
She's older than all of them.
Girl.
She's
formed. She's probably 18, 19 years old. They're all, of course, you know, 13-year-olds or whatever, maybe even younger. Because they can't all swim that well. And so anyway, Squints fakes his own drowning in front of her lifeguard. Have you seen this, Florence?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so Squints fakes his own drowning in front of his Now this is, in front of Wendy's lifeguard tower. She dives in, rescues him, pulls him up, begins to do a mouth-to-mouth, and the boys are concerned. They don't realize he's faking until he gives him a big wink.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, what the hell? And then he grabs her and pulls her in for a kiss. Unwanted, I would say. Unwanted and uncalled for. And he's banned from the pool, but you know what? It was all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
For a kiss from Wendy
Pepper. Put it in his bank, yes.
That's right.
Hey,
would this fall into the legal definition of assault?
It probably would.
He
was a juvenile, so it would be a confidential case, but he'd probably get some sort of
probation.
Yeah, probation, and have to take some classes.
Sure.
See, if she wanted to press charges, she could get some kind of retribution.
Right, exactly.
Mm.
Poor Squints.
I remember Wendy was kind of in on the joke Wendy. After a while. It wasn't her thing. Like, she kind of was like laughing about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you get that, but that's in the writing too.
Yeah, I was
like,
say,
the writing's like, it's okay, boys, you can do this. Because look, she's going to be flattered.
A lot of this falls under the category of boys will be boys,
mm-hmm. Yes,
which
it does.
Doesn't hold up quite so well as a legal doctrine as I understand it.
Now, like, so you're going to have a different guise on this as well, because you watched, you know, you're a female and you see these things, and I don't know if they stuck in your craw or they kind of set off some like spidey alerts in your head. Spidey sense went off when you were watching it originally, or because a lot of these
not at all.
Oh yeah,
not at all for you.
Not in when I originally watched them. No, not at all.
Yeah, totally. Interesting.
Yes. I accept them just as comedic premises.
Yeah,
right.
It's all funny how we've grown.
Would you like to go next?
Sure, I'll go next. I have a tie for five. And it's two 1980s movies.
That's cheating.
One, a lot of 1980s on these lists. I know. I
found that 1980s seemed to find sexual assault against the ladies hilarious, but current movies more assaults against the men.
Hmm. That's actually really good insight. Yeah,
well, I mean, current, like the most recent Oscars, right?
With Chris Rock.
No. With Hall. What's her name? Regina Hall. Was up there and she was patting down the boys
and feeling
them up. And yes. It was like, imagine if it was roles reversed, but
you
could totally see that happening. Exactly. Like Bob Hope doing that back in the 50s or something.
How do you remember something from the most memorable Oscars for other reasons?
There were so many things wrong with the most recent Oscars. And we did them live. And I was talking about, sorry.
Florence, please.
So the first one is Revenge of the Nerds. The lead nerd, Lewis, sees Betty fighting with her boyfriend, Stan. So Lewis steals Stan's Darth Vader mask and follows Betty into a funhouse where he has sex with her. And then he later reveals he's not Stan. And Betty says, you're that nerd. Isn't that one of your drops?
That's one of my drops.
And at the end of the film, Lewis and Betty start dating despite this rape.
I mean,
she's like, delighted.
I would call it a sexual reveal.
And then
is it rape if she really enjoyed it and it led to a relationship that might have?
I think she actually verbalizes like that was amazing or something like that.
Something about his tongue or something. I remember watching this as a child. I can't believe this is your number five tie.
There's five ahead of this.
Because this is the one, the big juicy one that I left off my list as my number one. Like there, it's just flat out rape.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. And then so the one that goes with it is 16 Candles. Mm-hmm. Where Jake
this is my number two that I left off the fucking list.
She's doing this backwards.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What else you got, Florence?
Oh, you know what? Now it's probably going to be all downhill. I hope not. Jake encourages Ted to go up to his passed out mean cheerleader girlfriend, Carolyn.
Carolyn Mumford.
And says to Jake, says she's so blitched she won't know the difference. Mm-hmm. Like, ew. Yeah. It's so
good news
unclear.
You can take advantage of her.
Yeah.
If Ted, played by Anthony Michael Hall, ever does anything. I always felt he did.
Like, oh, I think he did for sure.
Okay.
He did. Because
sure
he's sitting
did.
There in the car and goes,
yeah.
He says, did we?
And she said, yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
Like, somehow he forgot too, because he got so hammered that he blacked out, but she realized that they had sex because he does the little finger in the whole thing. Did we? And she goes, mm-hmm. I think they became a bit of a couple too, didn't they?
Yeah. Like
rape
she was
leads
kind
to.
Of, yeah, right, exactly.
What kind of things are they teaching
romance.
These children?
I don't
Me,
know.
I watched this. Yeah. Normalized rape.
Yeah. She was kind of delighted, even though half of her hair was cut off and she was raped.
She was very attractive. I remember watching this at a very young age, jealous of Anthony Michael Hall's situation.
For sure, to a certain point in my life, and possibly to this day, this might be the movie I've seen the most in my life, because my mom and my two older female cousins loved this movie in 1984, 85.
You had no say.
It was just always on. It was always on, quoting it, watching it, quoting
it. I'm with them. I love this movie.
It's fun, but it's...
The only movie I've seen, ironically, more than it, there's a couple, but The Sandlot, I've probably seen more than any other movie. Yeah, because when I worked at the video store, I just had it on a loop. I watched it probably 2-3 times a day for a couple months. Wow. Pretty good, yeah.
All right, what's your number five? Where do we go from there?
All right, so my number five, a little more innocent, and it's from, I actually had this scene on a list recently. It's Kramer versus Kramer, 1979's Kramer versus Kramer, and it's the post-interview kiss in Kramer versus Kramer. So
this movie must be very important in your life because you do family law, Florence.
No, I haven't seen it since.
What?
I don't know, the 80s probably.
Wow.
Interesting. It's very good. It holds up. And there's a scene where he's desperately trying to get a job. It's like Christmas Eve and he's going everywhere. He has to have this job. It's the stakes are very high. It involves,
he loses custody, right? He doesn't get the job.
Exactly. And, he lands the job and there's a Christmas party happening in the office. Then he's so, adamant about getting this job. He was forceful that he got himself an interview during the Christmas party. He walks out just a foot taller than he was when he walked into the interview. Yeah. Once he gets the job and he sees some attractive blonde on the way out of the party, the office party, and he just grabs her by the back of his head and plants one right on her and says, "Merry Christmas." And then just walks out. And he hasn't even started yet. And he's already assaulting coworkers.
Unwanted.
Like within literally 30 seconds of getting the job at this office, he's assaulting a woman and it's played for laughs.
Yeah. That was high comedy in 84, 80. What year was that? 79
was 1979.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
Kramer versus Kramer. Very good movie. A lot of family drama, as you might imagine.
Never seen the whole thing actually.
It's very good.
Who was the other Kramer? Streep? Earl Streep?
Yeah. Earl Streep.
Mm-hmm. Didn't the kid get nominated for an Oscar?
I don't know. The fucking
come on, you're supposed to know these things.
I don't know if he did, because I feel like that's one that would come up on lists as because he was very little. Like, I think he was like 6.
Fun fact, that was a young Ryan Gosling.
No.
No, it was not.
Okay. Yeah.
Brian, unfortunately, is correct. Justin Henry.
Really? Get used to it, everyone.
At age 8 years, 10 months, and 20 days, Henry is to date the youngest nominee any competitive.
When Florence is like, oh, that would come up. I'm like, I feel like I've heard that trivia before.
Mr. Trivia over here. You pray at the altar of Oscars.
I thought it was Rotten Tomatoes. It's both. Make up your mind.
It's both, dude. It's Trinity, remember?
What is it?
It's the Trinity. It's the...
Tomatoes?
It's tomatoes.
Oscars.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, but I draw from those two, so...
The mishmash that it creates is you. And
I'm the afterbirth.
You're the type to have a picture of just you on your wall framed, and I think you actually have that in your living room. A picture of just you.
I didn't frame that.
Framed. You have it on
the wall. I have several.
Just you.
Several. I feel like that kid gets robbed in mentions. Like, I feel like you hear always about Tatum O'Neill and Jodie Foster.
But he lost.
But still. Yeah. I don't know. Unless I'm just not hearing the right things.
You always hear about Quvenzhané from Beast of the South.
Quvenzhané Wallace. Uh-huh. Yes. Yep. Haley Joe. Justin Henry was in Top Gun.
Oh, he's still working. Look at this.
No, he wasn't.
He was in the new on Cinema Oscar special video, 2019.
Well, what movie have you seen him in recently?
Reaper. He was in Reaper. He was in a short called Smokin' in 2013.
That's not what we've seen him in.
23 credits total. So it didn't quite work out the way that he was probably hoping after being the youngest to date ever nominated for an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm. Number four for me. I struggled this one because I had it on my list and I did. God, I did so much digging to find out how old Darcy was in Old School, played by Elisha Cuthbert. She's clearly underage, and I feel like they never say it specifically or explicitly because they don't want to make their hero, Luke Wilson, out to be a criminal, basically, halfway into the movie. But Darcy, played by Elisha Cuthbert, it's heavily implied she's underage, but she's certainly in high school, and she is certainly the boss's daughter.
What movie is this?
This is Old School. Mm-hmm. This is Elisha Cuthbert revealing herself to be a high school student that Luke Wilson, Mitch, has had drunken relations with. Problematic on a number of levels. We have to assume she's underage for this to work. If she's 18, I don't think there's a crime here. Florence, you would know.
I would know if she's under 18.
No, you would know.
I mean, this all hinges on something you cannot get.
But it's heavily implied.
How old was she at the time of...
Oh, the actual actress?
Yeah.
Good question.
I'm pretty sure she was old.
I'm sure she's probably 23 or 24, like they do. And, you know, a lot of high school seniors are 18 by the time that they're there. I mean, that I could see how you're suggesting that there's a possibility, Brian. But, I mean, for it to be your number four, it seems kind of...
I'm standing by it.
Interesting.
I like it.
What does Rotten Tomatoes have to say about it?
That's a good question.
They can't answer certain things and you're just in the dark.
I know. I didn't know where to go with this one.
Florence, where are you at?
Number four is Gone with the Wind.
Mm.
Rhett Butler forcibly kisses Scarlett O'Hara many times, carries her up the stairs for forced sex because he says, "This is one night you're not turning me out." She wakes up delighted and pregnant.
Mm.
And he leaves on an extended vacation.
Problematic on multiple
levels. I've seen this movie one time, and it did not go down smooth, and I did not quite enjoy it. I respected the scope, I guess, especially for the time. But how much was she protesting on the way up those stairs?
Not really.
Yeah?
It was actually a little hot.
Really?
To be honest.
What?
Oh, boy. I saw this recently.
Interesting. Did you?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Remember on COVID?
Yeah, COVID. Yeah. Your COVID watch. Do you recall the... implied rape scene?
Best part of the movie. Actually, I can't even.
What?
Well, it does take place on a plantation.
So your buddy, who you talked to at the Corolla barbecue, he likes that? He's happy that just happened?
He fed me that joke.
Did he?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, here, use this.
You realize you're going to be talking about this movie and having this exchange.
Next time it comes up, he said. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it came up so soon.
That's a joke that would work for very, very, very few exchanges, Brett. Okay.
Great. Number four.
That was enjoyable.
Was it? You enjoyed that? Believe that, Florence? Somebody came up to him and wanted to say...
She didn't hear it.
No, I mentioned it in the top of this episode, though, and said, hey, why does Anderson have to... He's a real jerk, and I get that, right? I hear that quite a bit.
He started off by saying... Fucking Anderson.
Yeah, and it's like that could go so many different places because I am like a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. I would have never dreamt that his main grievance with me is not letting Brian let his
it's
racist
raining all over my
his racist
my,
jokes
my,
breathe. He gets
my
upset
with
me.
Proprietary brand of humor.
I'm very confused by that guy's comment.
Yes, here's what's most confusing, Brian.
May or may not have been a man of color.
May or may not have been. Ooh. Just like Alicia Cuthbert may or may not be underage. What? You told me
not,
that he was
it's not on me to ask.
What color was his skin,
Brian? That's reductive, and you know what's frankly offensive.
That's good. See, that's funny. That there is pretty funny. The same takes place on a plantation, so I like it. You know what I mean? I like movies that take place on plantations.
No, it was much more nuanced than that.
Was
you
it?
Said,
what was it? All right. Number four for me is the...
You asked what could be funnier than that. I said, well, it does take place on a plantation.
I'm still confused why that's funny.
That's funny.
Number four for me is the most recent movie on my list. Kind of by a long shot. Yeah. 1998 is when The Mask of Zorro came out. The Mask of Zorro is much better than I would have imagined going into this movie. Antonio Banderas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. And there is a duel that takes place, if you'll recall.
Oh, does he take off her clothes or the sword?
So, yes, I have clips. Are we playing clips here? I got to play one clip
a little later. Highly visual scene?
Yeah, I mean, I include all my clips in my list.
I say more clips the merrier.
That you can find if you are a Patreon subscriber. It's in the show notes of every episode that we do. For the clips are all linked. I have clips for four of my five. There's one that I could not find evidence of, but I saw the movie within the last year. I know that it's there. However, the duel is what I'm talking about in The Mask of Zorro. And yes, it's where they're going back and forth. She's showing her skills. He's kind of gaslighting her or what do you call it in gambling where you let somebody limp in or you limp in. And he's kind of like a ringer almost.
Right.
He's letting her feel like she's winning. And then
you're suckering him.
He's suckering her in. And then he does a little, tears his shirt a little bit with her sword. He's like, oh, very good. And then he gets her like in the thigh area. It shows a little like inner thigh. And she's like, oh, good. And then he really starts turning it on. He pulls her in for a kiss. And then he lets her out. And then he continues. It's a pretty good choreographed scene back and forth. I think it was even in the trailer. But then when he really says, all right, you know, fun and games are over. I'm going to show you what I can do with my sword. He you know, completely disarms her. And then his last part is he just does a bunch of little slashes that cause her entire top to fall down.
Oh.
Yeah, this is after already forcibly kissing her twice while in battle, and then has her full top just completely come off of her body. She has hair, long hair on either side. I'm sure that Michael Douglas probably demanded that she be covered up. But yeah, it was kind of like, okay, not only you beat her in the little back and forth.
Well, you not only went at her with a goddamn sword.
Right. Yeah. So
you undressed her.
I mean, it's just disrespectful too. I mean, two guys going back and forth, you think they're cutting cod pieces off? I don't think so. Right? Just like salt in the wound.
Speaking of assault and dueling, the last duel. All that's considered is still considered assault.
Of course. I mean, that's what the whole movie is centered around. Is it assault or not? I mean, how are you going to have that as on a list?
Wow, you think there's some debate? I personally, Florence, I don't know about you, I think it's assault. But apparently Anderson has some debate.
Well, then, if you're going to have that on there, why not have the accused as number one? Because it's assault today and it's
number
assault back
then.
Number
three for me, the accused.
That's the whole thing. It's like it wasn't assault back then, or it wasn't considered assault by the viewers.
Hey, did you see the Puss in Boots trailer?
I was concerned where you're going with that. No, I've not seen the Puss in Boots trailer.
Oh, it played before Lightyear for us.
Oh, did it? I did not see it. I was there.
There's a spinoff movie about Puss in Boots.
I can't care any less, really.
Wasn't there already?
Perhaps there was.
Are you a Puss in Boots fan?
No, I don't even know if there was another movie about that character. I know that the premise of this one is clever because he apparently has used up 8 lives and he only has 1 left.
And this is from Shrek, right?
Banderas does the voice, right?
That's what we think about.
I am almost positive there was already a movie.
It feels like there was. Yeah.
I will look that up while... who's up next?
You know what I just learned about, and it's very distracting. I'm having a hard time doing the show here with you, I'm going to be honest. But Red Rocks in August, there's the 25th anniversary of South Park.
Oh, really?
And they're doing a show, South Park, the show.
Or the existence of the thing.
And they're doing a live show at Red Rocks with Primus and Ween. And I'm not going to be there because I'm a family man. And I can't imagine how great that will be. And I won't be there.
Look at you, Florence. There was a Puss in Boots in 2011.
That's why I had children when I was young.
So you can have fun.
She's still very young. There was a Puss in Boots 3D movie in 2011. Mm-hmm.
So good.
Right,
I did know something.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Didn't know that. You didn't see that, Brian.
I think you're up, Brian, for number 3.
Oh, yes, of
course. Jesus Christ, that was very loud.
That was unnecessary.
It disturbed us all. It really was.
This is... my top three are clustered. My top three are... They're all very egregious by today's standards. Number 3 is the violation of the mayor's daughter in Animal House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this makes anyone else's list. There are multiple instances of unprosecuted sexual assault in this film. However, I had this wrong initially. I thought it was the dean's daughter, but it turns out it's Mayor Carmine DuPosto's 13. I was like, I think she's underage. And I went back and watched some scenes.
She's 13 years old?
13 years old.
What are they doing?
They're, there's making out and remember the angel and the devil on the shoulder?
I barely remember this movie. It's not a movie made for me. I know a lot of people love it. I know it's a classic. It doesn't go down smooth for me. It's just like, these are things that I'm not finding particularly funny.
They stop the angel on is it Pinto? Yeah, Pinto's shoulder. Well, ultimately wins out and he doesn't have sex with her, even if the devil would like him to do terrible things to this passed out girl, which is another layer of misdeed. However, he plies her with alcohol. They make out. He does some fondling. Turns out she stuffs her bra. Makes sense. She's 13 years old.
And what's she doing at a frat house?
She lives in, it's the mayor's daughter. She lives in the town. How did she get to be a cashier at the local market if she's 13 years old?
It was a different time. It's 70s.
She's 13 years old.
In the
she's 70s, a cashier.
Like 12 to 15 was yeah, you very worked. Blurred.
Yeah.
No kidding. So she's checking out, literally checking out the groceries for Pinto. And he's like, hey, there's a frat party tonight. You should come. And she does. And things get out of hand.
It sounds awful. And it was all done for laughs.
It was all done. You remember the scene. Yeah. Yeah. The angel and the devil. The devil suggests some very foul things.
Oh, what?
He's a devil.
Well, yeah, I get that.
You can probably find the clip.
Oh, why don't you tell me?
I don't remember exactly.
I feel like you watched the clip for this week for research.
It was earlier today and the day before.
He tells me repeatedly.
He wants him to carry out some untoward things.
I don't know. That could be any number of things.
Let your imagination run wild.
Like kiss her?
Yeah.
Like on the ear?
No.
What?
They're squeezing parts.
Oh, he says the devil says squeeze her butt?
Buns.
Oh, buns is what he used. You think the devil would be a little more colorful.
That's true. Yeah, he starts off really, really innocent.
Honestly, I don't remember. I don't think I need to know. But
13.
Yeah. This is a great example of like how things have changed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 13. It's a baby. It's so disgusting.
And she's got braces. What she does have braces?
She should have braces.
Oh, but does she have bad teeth?
No, no. She has great teeth. But at 13 years old, one would have braces.
Yeah, I saw this not too long ago, and I don't remember even noticing that. That's what's weird is like it normalizes all this shit, so you don't even notice it, right? Exactly. It might not be funny, but it might not register as beyond unfunny and just like creepy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think of this list when it like popped into my head on a scene.
I mean,
but the actress is Sarah Holcomb, and let's see what Sarah Holcomb has been up to.
It's shocking that like more like. I don't know. Like maybe they all were. Like the amount of people that were turned into like date rapey people just from watching these movies on repeat. And it's like normal. I was talking about on the After Disaster. We were talking about this list and how we're going to be doing it. And I was talking about like as a kid, I was told by these movies that this is how you get the girl a lot of the time. And sure. I just didn't have the guts to actually, plus my, you know, my moral compass told me that wasn't quite right.
But that's true. The messaging to young boys was this is the way it's done.
You got to just force your way in there and they will relent. And the most times, more times than not, they'll like it.
Oh, they'll be thrilled at the end.
I didn't have the guts to do that, nor did I feel like that was the appropriate thing to do. But I was taught that repeatedly.
Sarah Holcomb was in four films between 1978 and 1980. All of her films. Debut was as Clarette in National Lampoon's Animal House. Her final film was Caddyshack.
Short-lived.
Short-lived.
By the time she was 15, she was out. She's like, that's enough sexual abuse for me.
She was too old.
She saw too much.
She aged out of the business. They're like, you're not underage enough for it to be hilarious anymore.
Yeah, sexually, you look like you might be 18. Funny.
Yeah. The younger you are, the funnier it is. And you're just not young enough anymore. I'm sorry.
All right, moving on. Florence, what's your number three?
I think this is my newest movie, which is Horrible Bosses. Mm. And it's when Jason Sudeikis puts the toothbrush up his ass.
What? That's right.
This is good. This is inspired. Yeah. I wouldn't have considered this.
And it's Kevin Spacey's toothbrush. And later, Kevin Spacey brushes his teeth with it. Mm-hmm. And this scene has grossed me out so much that I'm terrified of leaving out my toothbrush at the hotel. And I always tip the housekeeping staff
up front.
Is it toothbrush tipping that you give them? Essentially, like it's all surrounded around the toothbrush.
Yes, it is. Well, my daughter also was a housekeeper in a hotel for a while. Oh, no. So I
does
also,
she have stories?
No.
Does she have tales?
This has nothing to
what
do
has she
with
seen?
That. This,
was she
this
at the Phoenician? Tell me the truth.
No. Okay. She never did anything like that. No, but just because she worked hard.
Co-worker.
No.
Miscreants. Hey, if you were, I don't know where to go with this. If you were the DA, what would you charge Mr. Sudeikis with?
It probably would be some sort of assault.
I guess spitting is assault, right? And if you spit in someone's food, that would be considered an assault, right?
And up your ass is a little bit worse than spit.
It's a different boulevard.
You ever watch that Seinfeld episode where his girlfriend had to get even with him by putting something in his apartment? I think he dropped her toothbrush in the toilet by mistake,
right,
and didn't tell her. And then he did tell her. I forget what the circumstances were. So she's like, all right, now I went into your apartment and when you weren't there and I put something in the toilet and I'm not going to tell you what it was. And he ends up throwing like everything away.
Yes. He like loses a total germaphobe. His mind.
And then she lets him know the joke was that she put the toilet bowl cleaner. That brush in the toilet bowl. That's what she used.
I forgot all about that.
Good stuff.
But also in Horrible Bosses, Jennifer Aniston commits tons of sexual assault and sexual harassment.
To a coworker, to a subordinate.
Right. And so this is a more recent movie, and so it's against a man. So then it's like, ha-ha, hilarious, you know?
That's a really good insight.
Yeah, and that was the one thing that I couldn't get past with that movie, is just how absurd it was, because I mean, maybe I'm shallow Hal for thinking this, but like, it's like Jennifer Aniston going after Charlie Day. It just did not add up to me at all. And I know that there was supposed to be a joke in there, but it wasn't.
It's about the power.
The movie was absurd. The movie was absolutely absurd. And that was by far the most absurd thing that I couldn't get on board with. I just could not be like, this movie is so silly and it thinks it's so funny, but it's just silly. It's like, it's unrealistic premises, right? With the Aniston going after, I mean, of all people.
I bought it.
She didn't even have like, I don't think it was even written in that she had like some kind of weird fetish for like, you know, the unkempt.
And she probably looked more beautiful in this movie than, I mean, she's always beautiful, but she was very beautiful in this movie, like how they had her made up. And, just to be like, why is she going after Charlie?
She came out and said like, you know, her first boyfriend was like a older homeless man or something, and she still like looks for that. But they didn't put that in there. It was never explained why she was all over Charlie Day. It didn't make any sense.
I have a question for Florence, but first, fun fact: you know, Charlie and both of our wives go to the same OB.
I don't know.
GYN.
Oh, really?
That's right. Also,
that is fantastic.
She delivered so cool. Both of our babies.
That's amazing.
That's right. Florence,
wow.
In the event that
I should... put that in your Twitter header.
Careful. In the event that I should ever win gambling again, which at this point doesn't seem like
doesn't
I will.
Doesn't seem likely.
Should I assign Anderson with the Millers?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It's such a Brian movie.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's unfortunate.
I do. I think it's so
Florence
boring.
Well, Florence has taste.
She has. No, I really don't. You know what? I had a dream that I was on the show and I said to you guys, I like movies that suck. And I think I do, kind of.
Get that
dream. No, because you didn't like, well, I mean, I haven't seen We Are the Millers, but.
Did you like Groupers?
I did. I really like
that. That's all I asked.
Ryan, gone horribly awry. Don't put our guests in positions like that.
I'm going to try and disprove her. But she liked it.
Brian, you're insufferable. You really are. Like, I feel so bad for Florence already for the way that, you know, we're both behaving on this episode. But what if she really hated it and you put her on the spot? For me and her, that's all the abuse that I give you.
That would have been great pod.
Mm-hmm. Great pod.
Here we are. Here we are.
Right. This is probably not great pod. I'm going to circle back to Jennifer Aniston again.
Oh, that's good.
Probably the reason that she was so into him was because he was a subordinate.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's not about finding him attractive.
So he was
power.
Like under her thumb, and then that became like very sexy to her.
I don't know. There's something about the reads and the way that they went about it. And she was like having fun with it and being like playful. Mm. And so instead of just like how it would actually be, which would be like, hey bitch, get over here and do this for me now, which I don't know, whatever. It's a dumb comedy that I wish that I could have enjoyed more. I wanted to, I really did.
I enjoyed it.
I wanted to enjoy it.
Last time I enjoyed Spacey.
No.
Sad, but true.
Number three for me, before we go to a little Amazon break, there is, the one that I can't find visual representation without actually renting the movie, and I'm not going to rent The Verdict, which is a 1982 movie starring one Paul Newman. And I think that it's because of the public's love of Paul Newman that no one has taken it upon themselves to put the slap of Charlotte Rampling on YouTube. I just cannot find it. But without going into details and giving things away, he learns something about his co-star that is so upsetting to him that when it's a very powerful scene and have you seen The Verdict?
I have.
And do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't find a clip of it on YouTube, which was kind of shocking, right? I spent too long, probably 15, 20 minutes.
You gotta rent that shit.
It's a very good movie. It's about a lawyer who's down on his luck. He drinks too much. He gets this very important case kind of falls in his lap, and it's his last chance to actually make something of his career and redeem himself. Jack Warden's in there killing it. And Charlotte Rampling is helping him out with this. And then something goes, I'll just say south. And it's a very powerful scene where there's like no words. But then she realizes that he knows that she knows. And then he just goes over and I'm pretty sure it's an open hand, hard, just slap across the face that leaves her crumpled on the ground and bleeding from the mouth. And the interesting thing is in this 1982 movie that was in the script and they actually shot it. And me as a viewer was supposed to continue to pull for this lawyer. He's still the protagonist. And it wasn't even a character flaw. It was like, it was done in a way that it was like, of course he did that because that's what she deserves. And I remember seeing this not too long ago within the last couple of years and just being like, holy shit, like they still want me to like this guy?
Now that makes me think of something. Remember we talked about Larry Nassar and the dad who wanted to do exact justice in the courtroom and went after him. Like he literally.
Yeah, but that was about child rape.
I know, but I'm going somewhere with this. Florence, have you seen any physical wild outbursts? Because you do family law. Have you seen any physical wild outbursts in the courtroom?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to just vaguely mention what it was?
Probably not.
Because
I'm not asking for social security numbers here.
She's a professional, Brian. So? Unlike us, okay? I'll tell you about stuff that happened with my family behind closed doors just last night that they would be very upset about. But I'm not Florence. Florence is not us, so she will not disclose. And don't pressure her.
Good for you.
Tell me though, what your take was. You're about to say something there about the slap, the open hand.
Oh,
slap.
I was just going to say, when you originally saw it, did it even register to you that was?
I originally saw it when I was a kid, and it probably didn't. Okay. Honestly, I rewatched it not too long ago, and it definitely registered with mm-hmm. me. And it came off. And I should not be admitting this, but it came off as funny because it was so over the top and ridiculous sure. and unnecessary. Like he could have just stormed out. But yes. the fact that they had him actually assault her physically, and it's just gross because he's so much stronger and bigger than her. And she didn't. And I guess it was there as for like satisfaction for the audience. Who was like, yeah, fuck that bitch. Mm-hmm. Right. And I might have felt that as a kid. Like, yeah, that's what she gets. That's what she deserves.
Sure, exactly. Yep. That's what this done. List is about.
And the fact that it's Paul Newman doing it, too, is jarring. Because he's, you know, you think of him as such a nice guy when he's not wearing a sombrero.
True. Selling tortilla chips.
You know, after that whole discussion, I'm very suggestible, Brian. We were talking about Paul Newman. As you know, he comes up. He's a movie star. And I love the Paul Newman. I know your hairy man boss does as well. And,
indeed.
We started talking about his nonprofit and his salad dressings. So I got a couple just out of curiosity.
100% of profits supposedly go to charity.
That part's good.
Is the dressing itself not good?
I wasn't much a fan. Really? I tried the Thousand Island and the ranch.
Well, they're trying to keep costs low.
Got to tell you, I did not really like those flavors.
Make your own dressing. You're better
yeah.
off.
Yeah. You make yeah. your own dressing. Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, with the curd and the buttermilk and the poppy seeds.
Do a lot
seeds.
Of vinaigrettes.
Yeah,
they're delicious.
Too sour.
Mm. A little tart.
Yeah.
Florence, did you see the cars at the Corolla barbecue?
What, the cars?
No.
The Newman cars.
they don't let...
ladies on the floor no. over there?
They don't let the commoners back
oh,
into
really?
The...
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did in the first and second barbecue, I think. And in the first one, all these people left their cups all over the cars.
Oh, no.
Sounds about right.
And I was like... horrified. I'm
oh my
like,
God.
Who would do that as a guest in, you know, with someone's
yeah,
property?
Seriously.
And
not
so
just, I mean,
that's
not for
why
nothing.
I'm guessing.
The drunkards.
Yeah. Well,
drunkards
yeah.
Would,
yeah. Yeah.
Entitled fucks.
People drinking.
Right.
People who have like, you know, here's a question. Why would you think you're a commoner at this thing? She is not a commoner. She's fucking Florence. She's Florence. And you, Brian, should have taken her under your wing and taken her back there.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You weren't there? Mm-hmm. Where?
I was at a different location.
Oh. I could have probably, if Brian would have stuck
escorted
around for the second
back there,
part, I probably could have pulled the Brian card and went mm-hmm. in the back.
I can barely pull the Brian card.
I don't think he missed much. I'm going to be honest with you. Brian didn't miss a whole lot back there. I'm going to be honest.
Coming up next.
Oh, don't button hug me.
Come on, bud. I gave you the point and everything.
I know, but the point doesn't mean that I'm right on top of things.
Coming up next.
Mm-hmm. What happens coming up next?
Coming up.
Yeah.
Next. We'll go over the interesting and notable Amazon purchases with Florence here to witness it after this. I'm glad Florence is here because I can use your sharp mind because sometimes
oh,
things...
Oh, that's hurtful.
Well, I'm including myself.
You're suggesting that finally we have somebody sharp around.
Finally. occasionally things will jump out at me from this list of Amazon purchases that gets sent to us. And I'm like, why? What is the meaning of this? What is the explanation here? Turn the music off.
Brian, don't
drop it down.
Go ahead. You got it.
Someone got themselves an Amazon e-gift card and the theme was Blue Happy Hanukkah. Now we are at the opposite end of Hanukkah. We're mid-June, late June. Hanukkah typically.
Early bird.
This is someone either getting a huge head start, a belatedly terrible start, or an inside joke. Florence, what say you?
Oh, don't do. What's it? You? What are you, Bill O'Reilly?
I feel it is a late gift. I think the person
6 months late.
Yeah, I think they just didn't have their act together. That's my feeling.
I think it's a prop for a show or movie or short film or something.
Interesting.
Nice.
But it's an e-card, right?
Like Amazon e-gift card.
Oh. Yeah. I bet it's some ironic person trying to be like clever and funny. Mm. Or maybe they're just proud and Jewish and like it has a bunch of Stars of David on it. And they're like, hey, I like that design. Yeah.
It says Happy Hanukkah, although it says blue Happy Hanukkah icon. So perhaps it is just the Star of David.
Hmm. See?
Maybe it's a bar mitzvah thing. Oh, the thing's purchased. On the Amazon click-through banner, the Tootsie Shop, AndersonandBrian.com, include a Brother Super High Yield Toter Cartridge Set. Again, gang? I don't know where that came from. Samsung Galaxy S20. 8-drawer big rolling tool chest. Coulson Tabletop Indoor-Outdoor Fire Pit. How could they include portable? I think we get the idea it was tabletop and indoor-outdoor. A turntable record player, Bluetooth built-in. That's nice. Mighty Light Flex 1 folding chair. That's a 4-pack of those. New Balance Men's V1 walking shoe was purchased. What else here? Let's see. Under cabinet lighting, LED motion sensor closet light. How nice. Someone's getting ready for 4th of July. Do you decorate for 4th of July, Florence?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, nice. Someone is doing a similar thing to you. They got themselves, it's called bunting, but I feel like Amazon's playing the lowest common denominator here by calling it American flag pleated fan / bunting. You've seen the bunting, right? The little half moon. Yeah.
Yes, I've seen All-Star Games.
Oh, that's right. Polylock heavy duty flat cover for corrugated pipe. Someone got themselves, maybe it's some Revenge of the Nerds fan. Someone got themselves a Thor helmet and mask. Mm-hmm. God knows what they're up to in the moon room. That should have been copyright infringement with the dark. How could the Lucasfilm allow that?
Maybe George Lucas thought it was hilarious. No,
what was the studio?
That's a good point. We'll have to look that up. Greenlaw iPad Air case with keyboard, quarter athletic running socks.
Lucas, that is hilarious. Please use Darth Vader so that that joke
in
can
your
really...
rape scene. NYDJ women's denim jeans, pool pier pool filter, Intel certified Thunderbolt 4 cable. I'm assuming song mics. Bamboo. Oh, song mics bamboo. 2-tier shoe rack. That's very nice. EFX. Oh my god, what the fuck is this? Oh, this is a pH correct creatine monohydrate supplement. Moen modern eco performance hand held shower.
Moen.
And finally, someone got themselves a Potensic upgraded mini drone. See, that's how you do it.
It is perfect. You nailed it.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate that.
I love the Amazon list so much.
Really?
And I don't know if you ever see it, but I don't know why. My husband buys the craziest things and I always click through. It's always like weirdo parts and stuff. Yeah.
During the break, I'll share with you my methodology.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm getting
it. And whenever you name something that, that we bought, I'm like,
oh,
super
that's
excited.
Happened? Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Brian's going to share the Brian algorithm with you.
That's right.
Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time I talked at you. Four people, not one, not two, not three, but four people got Dinner in America. Fall for the years. The Sicilian Clan with click through, as well as Hardcore. God, son of a bitch. I need to see the Hardcore.
George C. Scott.
Oh, I need to see that.
Turn hardcore. It off.
Oz, season 1-6. Oh, my God. I forgot all about Oz. I have not thought about Oz once in the last probably 2 years.
And here it is.
And there it is. People love that show. I never saw a single episode. Steel Magnolias was clicked through, as well as Monster House. 21 Grams. Why would someone do that to themselves, guys?
Such a fun movie.
My God. Maybe the biggest slog of a movie I've ever seen. Inuyuichi, what are you doing? Taking Woodstock was clicked through, as well as Where the Buffalo Roam. It's been a long time since I've seen that. Die Hard 2 was clicked through, or two people got Die Hard 1. It's hard to tell here sometimes. Kingdom of Heaven was clicked through, as well as Southpaw.
Not hard at all.
The Nice Guys was clicked through. You know what? I'm hard on The Nice Guys. A great movie until the final scene, and I took a bunch of stars away for that final scene, which wasn't fair. It's a very good movie.
Not fair. That's a great movie.
It is
I
a
love
very
it.
Good movie. opens up with a bang, literally car right through the window, right through that kid's room. King Creole was clicked through, as well as My Dog Stupid. Susanna Andler was, that's a movie, Susanna Andler? Sundown, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Watchmen, Friday the 13th Collection, The Transformers, the movie, Phase 4, and Beavis and Butthead Do America. Someone's gearing up to watch a little new Beavis and Butthead.
That's right.
You know what I was thinking about while watching watching Lightyear and trying to wrap my mind around all the cleverness that they could have had with it, and like how Andy saw this, a version of this movie that we're watching like in 1993
or 94. He supposedly saw this movie, or the title card was like, this is a movie that inspired the toy or whatever.
And it took me back. Oh my God, look at it. And it took me back to like movies. And obviously like when you see them in the theater, you would have to wait sometimes 2-3 years before they became available, like on the movie channels or VHS,
sure.
But also just how shitty the quality was on those VHS tapes.
Yep.
So it was literally, you had like a month to 2 month window. Sometimes they'd run for like, you know, 6 months or a year if they're a big smash hit, but you had such a limited time to see these movies as they were intended on the big screen. And now we all just have big screens in our living room with like surround sound.
Basically instant access to new movies.
And not only that, but like high quality access to these movies. And they come out within a few weeks, sometimes the same day. And it's just how different that whole thing is. It's depressing.
It doesn't mean as much.
It doesn't. Well put. The stakes are like way lower. Mm-hmm. Seeing in the theater, the stakes are.
Yes.
Stakes.
Stakes.
Very hey, sad. Where are we going back to?
Back to the program.
You know what I realized, Florence, our guest, Florence Brummer, our topic bringer, Florence Brummer, I neglected to ask you, which I feel like I've done almost every time you've been here. What have you seen recently? What have you enjoyed? What have you not enjoyed? What's been your new movies you've seen?
Sure. I just saw Jurassic World Dominion, which I enjoyed pretty much. I saw it with my my grandson, who
Isn't he like a year old?
He's three.
Is he three?
Wow. No,
yeah. He and I share the same birthday, June 10th.
Oh,
so
just passed. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I turned 50.
Jesus. You look brand new.
Oh, thank you. But I rented a theater for us for Jurassic World Dominion. And in my heart, he's so smart. He was naming all the dinosaurs.
Sure, sure.
And we had a great time. And
was he right, though? Because a lot of kids do that. Yeah, and then you realize that they're... Oh, okay.
He's right. He will.
I named them all, but I'm wrong.
He schools us. So
it's all Allosaurus.
We will tell him the wrong names, and he's no. No, Meemaw. Here's the right one.
Oh, Meemaw. Yeah, that's right. He calls you Meemaw.
It's good.
And,
have you seen Everything Everywhere?
I did. Mm-hmm. I was just going to mention that one. I love that one. It was
very enjoyable.
Although it was the multiverse, but it wasn't like superhero multiverse. It was more about like motherhood and marriage and
different past your life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And just, I was even thinking this can be sort of like in your own life. You know, I just really related to this movie. Like when she was dealing with the tax lady and everything was so crazy. But then when she was the actress and she was all dressed up, I'm like, that's a little bit of me. And then when she was the pinata and she was all beat up and there was nothing in her, I'm like, that's me a lot.
Understand.
Instant classic.
Yeah, I loved it.
I've gotten some emails from people that are upset with me for liking it. They're like, how did you like that movie? And I'm like, how could you not? How could you not like it?
There was at least one Film Vault listener at the barbecue who wanted to chat me up about that movie, said he liked it very much.
Oh, that he liked it. Okay. And then he was interrupted by somebody saying, you really can't gotta get a new co-host who lets you get the racism out there.
It's that absurd. Was the subtext.
It's absurd. Brian, where are you at with your number two?
Oh, number two. This is going to sound familiar to people because it is... The Moon Room scene in Revenge of the Nerds. Yes, you're 100% right, Florence. This is egregious, even by 1980s standards. Yes, it is sex under false pretenses, I would guess. So the lead up is, I don't know if you've said this or not, the Tri-Lams. I don't know if this is a problem. This movie has multiple problematic elements. The Tri-Lams publicly distribute naked photos of the girlfriends.
Oh, right.
Remember, like the bottom of the pie? Uh-huh. I don't know if that's considered some form of... illegality? Mm-hmm. Feels like it should be.
I mean, yeah, right?
Yeah, because now when people do like the revenge naked pictures of their, you know, old significant other, that becomes problems now.
They killed an entire genre of porn with that law.
Thank God.
So Florence nailed the scene perfectly. I will add that Julia Montgomery, who was the actress that played Betty, she said, quote, "In the 80s, we didn't see it as a rape scene exactly."
That's where the quote ends?
That's where it ends.
Didn't elaborate on that.
No. Also, I had trouble deciding what was more offensive, that or how well do you guys remember Revenge of the Nerds?
I remember it pretty well.
Yeah, somewhat.
Because Lamar, the gay triathlete, he triumphs in the javelin throwing because his limp wrist gives him an advantage to throw the javelin even farther than the jocks.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but okay.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's fairly offensive.
I don't remember that at all.
I think I blocked that out.
Yeah, when they're doing their decathlon horrible. Or whatever, yeah.
Was there real quick little aside or something?
No. He's about to throw, and the jocks have all gone, and they throw him theirs very far. And they cut to Anthony Edwards in the crowd, Goose. Leaning over to a young lady saying, "Don't worry, we specially engineered a javelin to work with his limp wrist."
Oh, that's right. No, it wasn't so much about the wrist, the limp wrist. It was that they engineered something that
but it works with his
symbiotically
limp wrist.
Work, yes. Yeah, in tandem, it because gives they're him, so it smart. Gives him I advantage. Do remember that. I remember that, yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, good, clean fun.
Mm-hmm. What's your number two there, Florence?
Before I get to it, when you mentioned Anthony Edwards, I just saw Top Gun and
Maverick,
the new one. And Goose's son was just wearing his clothes.
Oh, was that supposed to be Goose's son?
Yes. He was wearing his clothes.
The length they went to remind you that he was Goose's son was so absurd.
And then sang the same song.
Yes. He was a fan of the piano and the same song and the same mustache. And,
right, exactly.
Well, I was confused, but then they did the flashbacks. And then
they cleared it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Then why did they even need the flashback? If it was exactly that scene.
You know what it felt like? It felt like they were like, we really have a movie here, guys. If we didn't kill off Goose all those years ago. God, if we only had Goose. But we don't. What can we do?
Here he is.
What? You know what they should have done? Is just said, you didn't know this, but Goose's twin brother is Canadian. And he's been training in the Canadian Air Force all this
Mallard.
Time.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards looks old, so I don't think he could come back. But Tom Cruise is just ageless. But then in that whole scene, Tom Cruise was just creepily looking through the bar window, like as he's doing this whole Great Balls of Fire performance. I could not stop laughing. Like, I was hyperventilating. It was so ridiculous.
In what I think is an objectively good movie, that is one of the worst things in a good movie I've ever seen.
That scene in particular?
Just how the lengths they went to remind you,
I think you're wrong, Brian. I think that all of the movie, except for the jet fighting stuff, is just arguably bad. I think it's just bad,
really?
But I think that they meant to make it that way. Yeah. I think that they meant to make it. It just wasn't far enough tongue in cheek for us to recognize because they didn't quite commit to the tongue in cheek, but they were going for that tongue in cheek. They weren't trying to make a good movie here, other than the stunts, which stood up on their own, and
which were quite good,
because they wanted to placate the audience that they got to come out, and they did. I think with the member berries and. I don't know if they could have counted on as many oldies going out to the theater, but they did.
When Tom Cruise was starting to teach the class and he was holding up the manual, I go, he's going to throw it in the garbage. He drops it in the garbage. I'm like, oh gosh, I'll give you my number two. I'm sorry about the sidebar.
No, go ahead.
My number two is also Animal House, but my scene, I think it just seems...
A different scene!
I think much more innocent than your scene. It was when John Belushi brings the ladder to the window.
Oh,
and
Peeping
then,
Tom.
Yes, and is being a Peeping Tom of the women who are changing. And when I was looked up the clip, I thought of it, I looked it up, and I'm like, God, well, I mean, I know John Belushi died when he was 33, I think. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, gosh, he looks old. And I looked it up and he was 28. Like, jeez, what a crazy fact. He was 28 during Animal House. I mean, he looks 45.
Those years, those tough years.
Yeah.
Was he supposed to be like an old guy?
He was. Like, it was supposed to be like his 10th year of college, which would put him 28-ish. But he looked
supposed
old.
To be disheveled.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a professional college frat boy. Yeah.
And then he did, you know, his cute eyebrows thing. And it was just being a Peeping Tom.
I just remembered another Peeping Tom scene from Stripes. If only I could be a loofah. Remember when...
I forgot about that.
Leguizamo? No, wait, what's his name? John Leguizamo? Is that it?
No, John... Larroquette.
Larroquette. Yes, Leguizamo. Idiot. John Larroquette. He was hilarious, and he was great in Stripes, and he had the binoculars.
It was Larroquette, right?
Yeah. He was from, Night Shift, right? Yeah, he was in Night Court. And he was leering at the girl, the female cadets, loofahing up and sudsing up. And he's like,
exfoliating.
If only I could be a loofah. My little brother and I used to exchange that line because we thought it was hilarious. And my brother was probably 6 or 7. I was like 8 or 9. We were just back and forth. If only I could be a loofah. We thought that was hilarious. He wanted to be a loofah, Brian, so he could
be connected to their skin.
Essentially, yeah. Like he wanted to be like a sponge or like a washcloth. If only I could be a loofah. All right.
But number two for you.
Number two for me. All right. I gotta show you guys this because I don't know if either one of you have seen The Quiet Man. Have you seen The Quiet Man? The Quiet Man is a movie that confounds me. It's very confusing.
I see nothing.
I'm sorry. And it involves...
Is it Barry Lyndon?
No. It's an older movie that involves a man who lives in Ireland. He's a transplant from United UK. States. He is... from Pittsburgh, and he finds a wife there. Yeah, that's you, Brian.
Oh, seriously.
And there's some kind of custom where, he falls in love, he marries this woman, that's his wife, and her brother is supposed to pay him some money for marrying her. That's the custom. And he's not coming through, so he's like, I'm going to take you back to your brother then. They're in love. And he does this, and he claims that this is a 5-mile trek, and he's going to drag her and take her back to the brother and turn her in, essentially say, I don't want her anymore since you didn't pay me the money. And he's been going back and forth with the brother since he showed up in Ireland.
On many levels.
But I mean, it's just flat out abuse. And this is a scene that goes on for about 3 minutes.
Caveman style.
Gosh.
And then here's where he actually kicks her, right? She tries to hit him back. And the whole town is delighted.
I love the music.
You can hear the music. Yeah.
Music in the background.
And he takes her, I guess it's a 5-mile route back to her brother's house. And the old lady goes, here's a stick.
No fucking bikes in that town?
He steps on the line. She says,
thanks.
Hold on.
To beat the lovely lady.
Here's a good stick to beat the lovely lady. And this just goes on for I think it's 3.5 minutes.
Well, that is a deep pull, my friend.
What year is this movie?
So The Quiet Man, which is considered a classic and people love it. And I was bored. I was annoyed. It did not go down smooth.
Doesn't hold up.
I really disliked
The Quiet Man.
And it's 1952 was when it came out. And it's Maureen O'Hara and John Wayne. Now the scene ends and I'm not ruining anything because it's just, I mean, unless you love the movie, but I can't imagine many of our listeners would. John Ford is obsessed with his childhood and where he came from, and this is more of the same with that. And it's, where was I going with that? It's
John Ford, obsessed with childhood. John Wayne.
Oh, so it ends up with they get what they want. I'm kind of spoiling the movie, but the her brother does what he's supposed to do, what they're both after, even though she took all the abuse to get there. And then she's delighted and she says, all right, honey, I'm going home and I'll have supper on the table waiting for you. And it's
so a happy ending.
I still don't understand. I've read many articles about this movie. I've watched it all the way through for cinematics. I don't understand what the whole point of that was, why he was treating his wife like livestock. And then she was cool with it once they got her brother to do what, to pay up. And I don't get it. I don't understand why he was mad. I don't understand why why everyone in the town was so delighted by it. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
What's your take on The Quiet Man?
Was she a shrew, like Taming of the Shrew? Like, was it supposed to be a play on Shakespeare, or was she not that?
No, I don't think she was that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know what? Like 30s, 40s, 50s, spousal abuse was hilarious. Exactly. Andy Capp, whose wife was Flo.
Oh, is that true? I forgot about that.
I'm lost. I don't know.
Andy Capp was a comic strip where he routinely beat and or threatened to beat his wife. It was a running joke. It's a popular comic strip.
You're too young for it.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, you're too young.
Go ahead.
What's that? Oh, my number one? 16 candles. I mean, it's right there. It's obviously poor Caroline is handed off by Jake Ryan to Farmer Ted, who while she's blacked out drunk and literally can't tell the difference between the two. It's all been covered, but it is egregious. And yes, they wake up in the church parking lot. That was always
in the Rolls Royce.
A funny joke amongst my family is like, where are we? We're in the parking lot of my church. Hmm. You want a church? Hmm. You know, hilarious.
It is pretty funny.
He just violated her.
Now, John Hughes wrote this, right? But mm-hmm. what a lot of people don't know is Bill Cosby was a ghostwriter on it.
Really?
So it makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah. It all comes
together.
He
helped punch it up, and I don't think this was originally in
You're
there.
You're saying Cosby was doing punch-up work in '84?
He sure was
doing some punch-up work. Oh, now we're doing it. Now we're making light of assault.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I feel
oh
bad.
My gosh, please, if you haven't seen the documentary on Showtime, please see it. It
that
is
was a problem.
So
when
good.
You talk
yes.
about Cosby.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Camille Bell.
Excellent. I gotta yes. see
it. Isn't it like 3 or 4 parts or something?
It is.
It's long,
it's
right?
long, but it is so engaging.
Do we have to talk about them that long?
You know what I mean? I think so. It was not wasted time.
Hey, we need to talk about Ezra Miller. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. He's like involved in some weird grooming.
We need to talk about Kevin, Ezra Legend. Miller, who's also a Flash, who always just kind of came off as a creep well beyond just because of like, we need to talk about Kevin, the character that he played there, but
enjoyable.
He seems off-putting. He seems like the kind of person I wouldn't want to be around at all. As good, as much as I love that we need to talk about Kevin. Mm-hmm. But now it turns out, allegedly, like, he's been grooming this this girl and weird shit's going on. It's like Percy.
Mm. I wonder what they're going to do about the Flash now.
Yeah, I know, because it's all shot. I mean, there's no way mm-hmm. to actually replace it.
The Justice League is falling apart with Amber Heard and Ezra. Yeah.
I mean, they're terrible to begin with, and this is just like, this is almost like God saying, just don't.
It's not meant to be.
No just more DC yeah. comics.
Is Affleck out?
Start
now,
fresh.
Batman? I should know.
You know, this is a problem when Affleck's one of your only bright spots. You know, that's a big problem.
I feel like I heard he was going to be in something. Coming forward, but
thanks for the information.
I know.
So, like let me get this straight, Florence. So Ben Affleck's going to be in something.
something Batman-ish.
This is the worst tease for red light, green light ever.
Oh my gosh, I know. And I promise that won't be one of my red light, green lights.
Yeah, we're doing a bunch of red light, green lights after this this year episode. All right, where are we at? We
number
had number
one, for,
one
Florence.
For Florence.
This is the one that inspired my list. It was the movie Bring It On. This is a movie that played on a continual loop at my house with my little girls. They watched it all the time.
This sounds so wrong. And everything that I'm hearing, it sounds awful.
And then they had it on
it's
a couple months ago. They're older now.
In Mexico they had it on?
No, in my house. Oh. And they were watching Bring It On. And
wait, Anderson, have you not seen Bring It On?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times.
It's hilarious. Funny. I'm not going to win gambling ever again.
You need to play a different game, I was thinking.
Oh, shit.
But Brian evidently is.
It's really hurtful.
The Rancho Carne Toros squad cheer at a football game during the movie. And Jan, this part's supposed to be hilarious. He's one of the male cheerleaders and his name is Jan. He inserts a finger into Courtney, who's up on his shoulder, and she's delighted. And the scene ends with Courtney playfully slapping Jan on the arm and she runs off. And in my research, this part's so gross. I found out that originally, no, he smelled his finger and it turned the rating to an R. So they took
that one little thing.
Yes. They took that out and then kept that in. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, how did I never see that?
I just never
really saw it. Wait, I can't even like explain it.
What, the smelling of the finger? Because it was cut out.
No,
right?
No, that part's cut out.
You didn't even notice the finger because
no,
it was so
like,
subtle?
I saw it that he inserted his finger and she was happy.
Are they a couple though in the movie? Or
no.
Do they even know each other well? Or he just took the.
They're on the cheerleading squad together and she gets up on his shoulders and.
Oh, she wanted it.
Yeah, that's how they act.
That's
like
how
it.
It's implied.
And then he puts his finger in her.
Ew.
And she is. Like happy.
No.
It is insane. And
no.
That's sending a troubling message.
Is what made me think of this list.
It's pretty good. I had a girlfriend, 3 years like relationship. I was madly in love with her and And I remember she had a tale, and I wanted, you know, and when you really are protective, especially when you're young and you're with somebody, and she had a tale of being in the hot tub at a party once, and some dude, I remember he was a twin, I fucking hated that guy, he reached across the hot tub and just like put his, like while everyone was talking, but he was just like doing that, and I hated that guy. And she's like, he was like translucent when he was doing it, and yeah, it's weird. Guys just put their hands places.
Yeah.
I remember being at a number of shows, music shows, concerts, and crowd surfing women, and guys would be having their hands up inside their skirt and their, and I remember pushing guys, and then they'd almost fall. It was really fucking gross. Yeah. But guys, they couldn't help themselves.
Yes, and this is in a teenage comedy for fun, and I just in the whole time this movie is just playing over and over again at my house, it went just past me.
The biggest problem though is that she liked it.
Yes.
That's the biggest problem, right?
She was delighted.
Take a chance, boys. And if your hand's close enough to the vagina there, try inserting a digit, and chances are there's a good chance you'll like it. Right? I did that to my dog once.
I completely forgot about that.
I was petting my dog and watching the TV, and then I realized that my finger was like, I'm like, oh God, I was just petting her from behind. Yeah, terrible, terrible.
No. Terrible.
It was like knuckle deep, like one knuckle deep. I'm like, oh my God,
what have I done?
Poor Sydney. Hey, speaking of smelling fingers, and this is gross, and this is not my kind of comedy, but just today I watched the 1933 King Kong with a boy for the first time ever. And
where are we going with this?
There is a scene where he is tickling Faye Ray. And I swear to God, guys, he smells his fingers for sure, but
really?
I swear, like, it's implied that he's tickling her around in there. Like, he's tickling her all over, kind of, and it's, like, playful and cute, but then the last tickle is, like, up around her chest, but then he definitely smells, ew, like, two of his fingers. I'm like, what the hell?
I've seen that movie a lot. I don't remember
He smells his fingers. I'm like, is this where it all began, with the smell in the finger? Very inappropriate.
Wow.
I mean, on many levels.
And number one for you.
Number one for me. If you listen closely, you might have heard me talk about this within the last 6 months or so, because it wasn't that long ago that I rewatched Superman, 1978 Superman, with my very young son. And you don't realize what you're exposing them to, because it was normal when you were a young person. And obviously this is something that he wouldn't even register with like a 4 or 5 year old, but there's the scene where it's the car accident decoy. And if you remember, Ned Beatty is a buffoon, and he's employed by Lex Luthor, Gene
Hackman.
And they're employed with changing the codes on this nuclear missile, right? And their plan is to send the red-dressed bombshell, blonde bombshell that's on their team as well out
there. That's Taskmaker, yeah.
Yes. Yes, to get ahead of the convoy, the army military convoy, and they had a wrecked car on the highway, and she is laying off to the side as though she'd been thrown from the vehicle. It's a bad accident. It makes no sense at all, because it's like a head-on collision, but there's no other car. But anyway, she's laying on the road, and the military comes up, and it's absolutely absurd. They all jump out of all of their vehicles. All of them leave their posts to go, oh my God, there's a car accident on the road. Look, there's a girl laying here. And the lieutenant comes along. Here, let me, you know what? I'm going to play it. I haven't played any of the clips. Let's just play the clip here. And you guys can hear and see for yourself what's so crazy about this is it's played for laughs. It's a kid's movie. I mean, technically, like a Superman. It's called Superman the Movie because it's the first time Superman had really gotten his proper. And it's... All right, let's just watch it. All right, play.
All right, get on the radio and get an ambulance down here. I don't want to hold this convoy up any more than I have to.
She's having trouble breathing, sir. What do you think?
Well, I suggest a vigorous chest massage. If that doesn't work, mouth-to-mouth.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, I won't have one of my men doing anything I wouldn't be prepared to do myself.
Yeah, but, sir.
In an ambulance. My men, gather around. Come out, please!
So now he can have his way with her. They're all about face. There's no witnesses. And he's literally taking it. This is like the shit from David Cronenberg's Crash. Like, she's could be paralyzed. She could be dead. And he's like, opportunity to massage her boobs and stick my tongue down her throat. What in the fuck?
Wow, I forgot about that.
In the world. Yeah. What in the fuck in the world? What? And that got greenlit so many times to make it all the way up through the drafts and all the way up to the shoot and to actually be shot and then to not get cut.
My brother and I watched this movie all the time.
Yeah, we watched it a lot, too.
I watched it a bunch, and I don't remember that scene
at all.
I remember the car accident one night, but it didn't occur to me that how do you get in a head-on collision out in an open highway with no other cars? Or did it occur to me that, like, that was just, like, what would you even call that? It's, I mean, it's beyond assault, right? It's
dereliction of duty.
Yeah, it's a sexual assault. I mean, she's either dead or unconscious, and either way, it's just she's not consent. A consenting person to any of what he's going to do with no witnesses.
Yeah. All right. So that's my number one there. It's just
him having them turn around. I would say speaks to intent.
Sure does.
Well done.
He wants no witnesses.
Listener list. The listener list is compiled every week by Jordan Wolf, week in, week out. I am a very bad reader. When he sent me the list, I responded with, I can't believe so-and-so is number one. And then he's responded with, it's number one. I misread somehow. I'm foolish.
We should have had Florence read this.
The list, no, because she has her own list.
She's probably great. She's probably
double
great
duty. Or I don't want to.
I have also Rams that I can read when the listener list is done.
For sure. Webcam scene in American Pie, number five for the listeners. Number four is Biff in the Back to the Future. I have a problem with that because it was portrayed as assault
at the time,
in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, of course, that's assault. It was assault then. It's assault now. It's not like that was played for like cute and like he was doing horrific things to her. However, I guess, yeah, even McFly being a peeping Tom, that was also exposed as being wrong, right? Number three is John Wayne spankings in multiple movies. I guess it.
Does he spank people?
He's a serial offender here. Yeah. I guess he spanks his ladies.
I didn't know that.
Because he was a real man, that's why.
Number two is Sinbad in Jingle All the Way. I have no reference point. I have no reference to Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've never seen.
Never seen it, huh?
Who knows, though? I'm afraid. And number one is the moon scene, funhouse scene in Revenge of the Nerds with 41% of the overall, 51% of the top five. Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of the layup. And 16 Candles is right there, too. So I'm glad that you knocked both of those out right off the bat, Florence. That was
good.
Great.
Good.
All right. Well, yeah, I saw that as Brian. This is shocking to me, and I don't know if it's because you're an apologist for the franchise, how you didn't make your entire list
James Bond
related. What is that?
No, that's kind of like a huge umbrella catch-all. Like James Bond, very problematic throughout the series, the way he treats women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Up until about the Pierce Brosnan era.
Mm-hmm. Florence. Also rants for you.
Sure. James Cagney smashes a grapefruit into May Clark's face in Public Enemy. Again, showing spousal abuse was hilarious. Mm. Karen in Goodfellas straddles Henry Hill with a gun in his face.
Oh, the rare other direction.
Yeah. And that's aggravated assault with a weapon. Of course, he would never rat her out until he rats everybody out later. And but her legs look so great in it, so it's kind of forgivable. Blues Brothers.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, exactly. Blues Brothers, where the whole country bar throws glass bottles at the band while they play.
We can do Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. Also, they also throw bottles at the chicken wire, don't they?
Right, exactly. Psycho Norman Bates spies on Janet Leigh.
It's a lot of assault in that movie.
Yeah, that one was kind of innocuous. Because of what happens later. You know, in the Gus Van Sant unnecessary remake, they just added like a gross jerking off noise to that scene.
Yeah. Really?
And I was like,
they're like, we can't do anything with the picture because we're committed to like frame by frame, but we can do stuff with the sound.
I was like, why?
He's jerking in the movie.
Maybe that made it more criminal in the remake. The remake was criminal. And then Some Like It Hot. Jack Lemmon in drag tries to get Marilyn Monroe drunk so he can show her a surprise, which is presumably his penis.
Presumably, but does he get his way?
No, because all the other girls show up in the train car. So
his plan gets foiled.
It does.
Poor
get foiled.
Jack Lemmon.
Yeah.
Poor Jack Lemmon.
He cannot do his sexual assault that he was planning.
You hear us doing on the After Zester talking because my wife has been exposed to like three or four times I think, and we were talking.
Oh, through a job.
No, not through her job. Just like from the time she was like once when she was on tour, like with her school in Europe,
really?
Like once when she was living in San Francisco, like she was walking her dog and Mike and Tyler and I decided that that's a good way to figure out how attractive a woman is how many times she's been exposed to. It's terrible, terrible,
that's
terrible.
That's a good standard.
Yeah. It's a standard. It's a way to, put a value on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. She's been flashed five times. Oh, she's a keeper.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. That's kind of the road we went down with that discussion.
I'm going to marry her.
It's something to brag about. I mean, you should put it on your Twitter, like, you know, your header. Pin well, it. Yeah. Hey, what do you got for Elsa Renzo?
Just to James Bond. I couldn't choose one.
The legacy of James Bond.
Yeah, the legacy.
And for me, I just have Breakfast Club. He ends up with her, and like he has that scene where he's underneath the table hiding, and then he puts his head in between her legs.
Mm-hmm. Does God knows what?
And I wanted some more on 9 to 5, and I know that Dagny Coleman does all sorts of horrific things in there, but I wasn't going to watch the movie. And I think that it's kind of implied that like they all know what's wrong. That's why they rise up against him.
Very similar. I was looking for the clip and I could not find it from Mr. Mom, where that's just classic, you know, the classic trope of boss basically tells the woman, if you want to keep the job or move ahead, you got to sleep with me. And he like chases her around the room. That's a Martin Mull.
Oh yes, he does. Yes, yes, yes. But I mean, that's also known to be,
yeah, you're right, at the time
that it was horrific, and he ends up getting his comeuppance too, like Mr. Mom takes care of him. Are you offended by the Mr. Mom title? And I'm not trying to, like, you know, pin you down here or make you answer something, but because you're a woman, but I like to get female takes on things because we're a couple dudes over here. But I hear that just the title Mr. Mom is problematic.
No, I don't think so.
That one's pretty easy going.
Yeah, it doesn't give me any heartache.
You know, I read that.
Have you ever referenced it in a brief?
Probably not. Although, you know,
he's a real Mr. Mom.
My husband's probably been called Mr. Mom. Mm. You know,
I call myself Mr. Mom, and yeah. I was kind of ashamed in doing that. You shouldn't do that.
Chastised.
In my research, I came up with Rocky was on a list. I watched a number of scenes that I came up with the research. All five of mine are just from my own brain. Remembering, like, you guys, but
he's a little forceful, Adrian.
When he first invites her in, and I watched like a 6.5 minute scene on YouTube, and it's like there's really nothing there other than, you know, he's using words to get her to stay, but he's not physically,
can't do that,
keeping her there. And when he kisses her, she kisses him back. She's not like, she never once says no. She's very shy, and she says, "I don't know if I should be in there." And he's like, "Oh, come on, you see the turtle? I got wild animals, rare animals. Yeah, you showed me these turtles. Remember that?"
Cuff and Link.
I think she was more worried what her brother would say.
Yeah, but then remember, he takes care of her. Rocky's, I just saw this scene like this week, and Rocky goes, "Oh, you're worried about your brother. Hey, Polly, your sister's with me now. You can go home." That's it.
Polly was horrible, like in the first
Polly's
one.
The best.
And then he was just
jolly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like Santa Claus.
Friends don't know friends.
I fell in love with the robot number four.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you got to stop watching, Brian. All right. Hey, that was a fun list.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
We got to gamble.
I think the Quiet Man might be, I don't know. Superman was awful. All very egregious, horrific things, right? And I'm sure that there's plenty that weren't on our list because...
Oh, yeah.
The mind boggles.
Things change.
That's another thing. It's like when I was doing my research and I was coming up with, you know, reading these, like Mrs. Doubtfire was being, you know, referenced, and Rocky. And it's like, guys, there are real... actual problematic scenes out there from the past. And you're just throwing these movies together that aren't even deserving of being on this list, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned.
How about it? How you're concerned?
As far as I'm concerned. All right, where are we going? What are we doing here?
Gambling.
How do we do this?
You won. Well, sign me something.
All right.
Do I have Mike Cole's? We're really leaning on Mike Cole's list these days.
So I want to see, we're going to see Mad God. We're going to see that very soon. I think I'm going to get us links. I hope, if I don't already have them, I'll get them very soon. There's no massive rush.
Mike Cole edited today. Look at him on top of shit.
So in the meantime, people have been getting after me about this movie, and you and I are going to be watching Gladbeck, the Hostage Crisis, which is a documentary, found footage documentary, Brian.
Source
footage. You just said that I did.
I did.
Source footage.
You went one under me, motherfucker. I guess 97 for Lightyear, you guess 96, and whatever it is now, 77.
It's like 5.5 or something. IMDb. People are not liking this movie, which I was surprised by and sad. So Gladbeck, The Hostage Crisis. Have you heard anything about this movie?
No, not a thing.
It's about an actual hostage crisis, as you'd imagine. It's a documentary. Took place in Germany, and they use, much like Let the Fire Burn there, they used all actual source footage, which I always am impressed by. And we'll be watching that. Mitch Burns has been after me about it. Bruce has let me know.
It's on Netflix. Fantastic.
Yes. So I'm going easy on you, Brian, and we'll both be Flickfest next week.
Look at that. Nice.
Mad God coming up soon. What do we...
91 minutes. Nice.
All right. So we'll be gambling on, and you can weigh in too if you like, Florence.
I will.
On three, we'll all say what we think Elvis is going to be. Elvis or Marcel on the show?
What the fuck is this?
What are you doing? Stop researching.
I'm not. I'm in real time. I'm trying to add to my list. And it, God damn it. Okay. God, back. What are we gambling on? Elvis?
Yes. On three?
I got to think about this. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Baz Luhrmann has a wide range. Mm-hmm. Wide range of outcomes. Mm-hmm.
This might be where you win, Brebre.
It might be.
On three?
No.
Come on now. What are you? Stop typing. I do not. It makes me so nervous when he's like, you see what happens, right, Florence? I'm like, you ready? He's like, no. And then he starts typing into his computer, which doesn't.
I'm running down the number.
Well, I think you know he's not cheating.
I'm not cheating.
It might be a long con, though, right? He might be like,
all for this. He might be lulling, 10 weeks in a row for
lulling
this.
Me into like an 8 month dark winter for me, right? 8 months straight of just Brian picks. All right.
Fuck.
Like I said, Brian, when you lose,
what have I done?
The listeners win, I win, everyone wins when you lose.
Flo,
so it's
should
okay.
I go high or low on this?
Oh, Christ. Okay. Now, what? No, you can't lean on the guest co host.
Of course I can't. All right, here we go. Wait, hold on. Not done.
Brian, what are you doing?
Not ready yet.
You don't have to write anything down. We just say it.
What if?
On three.
Oh, I have to write anything down?
No.
I've been running it down this whole time. Maybe that's holding me back.
One. Wait, you ready, Florence?
No.
I'm ready.
One, I feel terrible about this.
Brian, one.
I got to go with my gut.
Two. 85.
79. What?
87.
79.
85.
Fuck.
What do we got? The urethras are playing in the background. Playing us off. Where are we at? Brian, just hit your just close your computer,
go
open
to
it up.
Favorites.
And it
oh
just,
shit. All right.
You finally winning?
I hit it dead on.
Really?
79.
You did?
As
oh,
of now.
Wow.
As of now with
interesting.
68 reviews. Fucking earned.
Oh, that's a bad sign for me. Guys, woo! Watch. All right, I'll be watching God. Mad God will be watched by me.
I want to thank so many people.
All right, let's get out of here. Come on.
Oh, 79.
Come on now.
All right. Florence, what did you guess? 87?
I guess 87.
Okay. You can go up by,
pay off.
All right.
That was a fun episode. That was very good. Thanks so much, Florence, for coming out.
My pleasure.
Florence, this you're so fantastic. Fun.
Why do you got to live states away, huh? Why?
Well, one
it's
state.
Really just state away.
I know, but still.
Florence,
it's too far.
More important, where can people go to find your law firm, your podcast, anything social media related? Where can people find you?
Sure. So if you go to my website, brummerlaw.com, it has everything about my law office,
we'll link to
including
it.
How to reach me. And my podcast is the Bonafide Legal Podcast.
Bonafide Legal Podcast.
Florence is an old friend at this point. How long has it been since you first co-hosted on this show?
February 2019.
Wow. Two and a half years.
February 2020.
Ooh, just
yes, it was right
COVID.
Before COVID.
I said 2.5 years and I was right.
Well,
I was wrong to begin with, but it turns out I was actually right.
You were right.
Yes.
The listener art is fantastic. I think this is actually just a real picture.
It's a real picture with Photoshop.
No,
Eric
this
Holmes
is a real picture
Photoshopped.
Of you.
It's a real picture of me. I was holding up a poster for Groupers, though, in front of the Chinese Theater. And now it's got something else in there. Eric Holmes.
Awesome.
Created that. Everyone, have you seen that movie yet? Not
no.
Groupers, though, but the one, the poster that I'm holding in that
uh-uh.
picture.
No, uh-uh.
That's very enjoyable.
Anderson raved about it.
Yeah. Very, very. You know how many emails I've heard? All right, anyways, we're not talking. I don't want to reveal the picture. There'd be no point to people going to see it. It's me holding a poster of Dinner America, and it says, go see Dinner America, for fuck's sake.
You're
Dinner,
so close.
Dinner America.
Thanks, Florence, for being our assigner, for being, well, decider or signer? Signer.
She was a decider.
There you go. I always get the nomenclature mixed up. Thanks, the Urethras, for being our featured artist this week. Check them out, AndersonandBrian.com.
They're opening up for the fallopian tubes next week.
Oh, no shit. They'll be the other way around, wouldn't it?
Yes, I guess so. I see what you did.
Thanks to all of our Patreon subscribers. Check us at patreon.com/thefilmvault. AndersonandBrian.com is the website. Anderson and Brian is the Instagram handle. Facebook and Twitter, The Film Vault. Thank you to Giovanni, Jordan Wolf, Mitch Burns, and Mike Cole. Thanks, Mike Cole, for keeping the list updated just in time to a pickup for Avery's mistakes. We appreciate you. And yeah, Florence, be well. We'll have you on for more red light, green lights sprinkled throughout the future.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, my friends.
Oh, the best. Until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh.